As you read each of these passages, I'm going to make a small commentary to them.
Okay. By my life, O friend, wert thou to taste of these fruits from the green garden, of these blossoms which grow in the lands of knowledge, beside the orient lights of the essence, in the mirrors of names and attributes, yearning would seize the reins of patience, and reserve from out thy hand, and make thy soul to shake with the flashing light, and draw thee from the earthly homeland to the first heavenly abode in the center of realities, and lift thee to a plane wherein thou wouldst soar in the air, even as thou walkest among the earth, and move over the water as thou runnest on the land.
Now, what really kind of grabbed my attention, I knew that I had a lot of knowledge. I was now 40 years old. And I found that I was yearning. I was yearning for where's the power lie? Where does the cutting edge lie? Because I knew that the way we were living. Now, at this time, I was living good. I lived in a place called Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I had a wonderful Baha'i community. I owned a business in town. I was a designer traveling around. I was also living with my wife and five children in a wonderful way of life. My economics were taken care of. I had, of course, this beautiful family. And yet I knew this is not what the Baha'i faith is about, just the good life. I knew that there's something more that I'm not getting. And all I can say is that I got glimpses of it, like a flashing light. And I wanted more. I wanted to take flight. After many years, I can suggest it's something like this. When we're driving on the ground with a car, we have stop signs and street lamps and everything to guide us along the way. We know we stay on the pavement, stay on the road. And when we come to a stop sign, we stop. And when we get a green light, we go. When we get a yellow light, we speed up before the light turns red. I mean, we all know how we do these things. But if you have an airplane and try to go, say, downtown Chapel Hill with it, you'll find it's very awkward. It doesn't work well on a highway or on the road normally. But if you take that same airplane and take it to the airport, first of all, in the car, the faster you go, the more in danger you are. Whereas when you're in an airplane and you're on a short runway, the faster you go, the better chance that something wonderful occurs. An invisible force lifts you up and you find yourself in space. No stop signs. No red lights. You have to operate on a different level of understanding to navigate into this new dimension. It's interesting, Baha'u'llah is referring to something before the age of flight that today, I believe, makes a beautiful analogy. We've got to learn how to take flight, and I would like to remind us of a passage in Tablet of the Holy Mariner. O mariner, teach them that are within the ark what we taught thee behind the mystic veil, that haply you may not tarry in the sacred snow-white spot, but take flight in the spirit. Now, I knew that passage, but this suddenly joined the two things together. And I realized that the sacred snow-white spot was recognizing the manifestation of God, being obedient, being a good member of the community, learning the basics and solid things of life, but that's not where it can stop. And I think many of us have found ourselves thinking we've arrived, that this is what it means to be a Baha'i. And I begin to realize this is just the beginning of the journey. We have to take flight and go to the first heavenly abode. And then we find out later Baha'u'llah refers to there are four heavenly abodes. And this is the first. Some people arrive there and think it's the end of the journey. No, it's a wondrous journey through four heavenly abodes. I won't go much farther because this will be clarified as we go along. Would you read the next one?
The principles, administration, and fundamentals of the faith, all religions, are well known, but the friends, or believers, need greatly to study the more profound works, which would give them spiritual maturity to a greater degree, unifying their community life, and enable them to better exemplify the Baha'i way of living.
Now, when I read this, it kind of shocked me. But I begin to connect again that the Snow White spot was these basic principles, administration, fundamentals of the faith. But taking flight into the spiritual required us to go into the more profound works, which would give us spiritual maturity. And we all know we need to have a more unified community life. Apparently this would help us to be more unified. And most of all, that we could actually live the life that God wishes us to live as an example to the world of what a Baha'i life really is. And this was written in 1938. I think that here in 2008, this is still true. We are needing this understanding today.
So we'll move on to another quote. God's greatest gift to man is that of intellect or understanding. The understanding is the power by which man acquires his knowledge of the several kingdoms of creation and of various stages of existence, as well as of much which is invisible. Possessing this gift, he is in himself the sum of earlier creations. He is able to get into touch with those kingdoms, and by this gift, he can frequently, through scientific knowledge, reach out with prophetic vision.
Now, this is a very profound passage, but basically, he's speaking of things like there are many kingdoms, and that we can get in touch with the very stages of existence, as well as much which is invisible. And we know that spiritual realities and the heavenly realms are invisible. And we need to get in touch with these realities. And with this awareness and understanding, it's saying here we can begin to view and see the future and what's coming and, shall we say, be ahead of the game instead of continuously behind the scene. The next one, please.
The pursuit of knowledge, in addition to ascertaining facts, requires categorization, correlation, and deduction. It is a process that is influenced culturally by the researcher's understanding of the world. The Baha'i revelation presents a new and challenging situation by its principles of the unfettered search for truth and the harmony of religion and science.
This was written by Ian Semple, who was a member of the Universal House of Justice, and I thought it was very profound in the sense that he's saying that we do have to categorize things. We have to find ways of harmonizing the themes. We have to correlate various aspects of the writings. And we have to come to some deductions, some conclusions, without getting carried away and thinking that means we have some authority. But this unfettered search for truth is open for all of us Baha'is to find new and fascinating understandings that give vitality to our own personal lives. I have found that certain passages at certain times when I'm just at a certain point are there and they just like come alive for me and give me a guidance